believe that tonight? Yeah. Is that your confession tonight?
Yes.
That they could come in and say, do you want to be the ruler of the world? Just give up this Jesus. You want this stack of gold? Do you want to be king of the world? Do you want to make all the decisions? Or do you want to give up Jesus? Are you convinced that you have what's worth more than anything this world has to offer? I had two problems today walking into church. Two I don't mind having. One is I had to move people around to get everybody in here. I don't mind doing that. I like enough people to be here. The other is I couldn't read the words today when I was trying to sing because I had the tears in my eyes. Because other people, when they hit rock bottom, they hit their rock bottom, which might be drugs, which might be lust, which might be football. That's their rock bottom. But my rock bottom's the rock of ages.
Amen. Amen.
When I hit rock bottom, I'm not alone.
Amen.
When it feels like there's no one else around, every time I get down there, there's a God that meets me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
When I can't take it no more, there's a rock that holds me. Think of the children of Israel walking around in the desert. Looks like they're lost. Looks like nobody cares about them. But the Bible said there was a rock following them.
Amen.
And Paul said that rock was Christ.
Amen.
And even when he was punishing them for their disobedience, he still never left them.
Amen.
That's the kind of God that I serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. How many's happy to be a Christian?
Amen. Amen.
I don't know what I'd do without Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's open up our Bibles tonight. Can we stand for the reading of the Word, please? In respects to God's Word, Hebrews chapter 7. Next Wednesday night, Brother Nathan Erickson will be preaching for us again. Keep him in prayer. Be expecting great things. Amen. Tonight's topic here in Hebrews chapter 7. I tell you what, this is one of the reasons I love the message so much. The message took things that I just scratched my head at for hours, studied for hours, tried to figure out for hours, and took about 5 minutes to explain it to me. How many's been preaching that seventh seal? I tell you what, the last time I went through this, I go, wow, I made this a lot harder than it was, than what it really is. That shows you the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. The carnal mind cannot figure out the things of God. It's a whole different wavelength. How many's come with a spiritual mind tonight? You didn't come with a carnal mind saying, I hope Brother Andrew's a good preacher tonight. I hope he's got a lot of enthusiastical things to say. No, you came saying, God, I believe you're speaking to me tonight. I came with a need, and I came to a God that said he'd provide all my needs. That's the reason you come to the house of God.
Amen.
Any other reason, you might as well just stay home.
Sure.
You're wasting your time and you're wasting the seat somebody else could have been sitting in.
Right, amen.
That's a tough thing to say, but it's nothing but the truth. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was. For our topic tonight, I'm going to keep reading, but I want to preach. Consider how great is this Melchizedek.
Amen.
I ask the question, how great is this Melchizedek?
Yeah.
Unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that made that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Let us bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, as we preach this subject, Lord, it's so rich and deep. But Lord, Satan likes to come in and make it more complicated to where the people can't digest it, Father. We pray, Lord, that the spirit of the devil be exposed out of this meeting. Lord God, that if there's any sin in this people, Lord, you'd forgive us. Lord, we don't come with our own merit. We come through the blood of Christ, believing that you atone for our sins. And I pray if there's a soul here tonight that has not come through that blood, and they need to recognize tonight that the blood is on their hands, Father. I pray that you would reveal to each soul here their state with you. Whether they be a sinner, I pray they'd recognize it today and be saved. If they're a Christian, I pray they'd recognize it and start beating the devil all over the place. They're sealed with the Holy Ghost. May the devil never be able to tell them they're lost again because they're sealed into the kingdom. Father, I pray that you take this word of life and you break it down, Lord, and just let us feed on the word. Let us be mature Christians. Let us be able to handle the meat of God. Not just the milk, not just the sincere milk, but Lord, be able to take the tough things, the things that rub us, Lord, from head to toe, the things that just tear our hides off, Father. We're here to receive your word, whether any way it comes, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. Receive all the glory tonight, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. How great is this Melchizedek? I've hardly met a nominal Christian of any sort. You say, who's Melchizedek? Have you heard of Melchizedek? I've rarely seen any of them that even know about him. I've rarely seen any of them that ever read about it, ever studied about it. And as I began to dissect this, I began to realize why the Trinity has the power it does. Why oneness has the power it does. Because when you ignore who Melchizedek is, you will end up with the Trinity. You wait a second until we get in this, and you can take quotes Brother Bram said and end up with the Trinity too if you don't read the whole thing. But let me consider this tonight. How great is this man? Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Can somebody tell me tonight? Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Does anybody know? Go ahead and tell me if you know. Paul. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. See, that ain't out of order. I asked you to do it. That's all right. Now, if I don't ask you, you know, that may be one thing, but I asked you to do it tonight. Paul the Apostle wrote this, and Paul wrote it to the Hebrews. He wrote it to the Jews. And if you were a Jew, your father was Abraham. When you went to everyone, you said, my, have you read about Abraham lately? Wasn't he a wonderful man? Aren't you glad we got a great father named Abraham? And everyone could relate because they all had this same father. They thought so highly of this man. Right. A man that waited for God's promise for 25 years. He deserved some of the respect that they gave him, I believe. I tell you why, us can't hardly wait 25 minutes sometimes for a promise of God. Here's faithful Abraham, waited 25 years. God allowed it to be completely impossible to see if he'd really believe it or not. Amen. You say, but Abraham fell. God never looked at that. Abraham made mistakes. God never looked at that. He knew Abraham believes. Amen. And it will come to pass. And that's what God's looking for you tonight. He's not asking you to get good enough to get saved. Will you hold on? Amen. Will you believe that you are not the atonement, but you have accepted the atonement?
Amen.
You're not going up trying to come to the judgment on your own merit. You've got a blood covering.
Amen.
You've got enough faith in that, though, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, you will be there.
Amen.
Just as Job could stand up. And as they came to say, look, man, look, but all his, you know, his best buddies came up, the other preachers in the denomination decided to show up and let him know, well, we got this, we got the word figured out here. God only lets things, bad things happen to bad people. That's what their religion was. You go look at it, that's all they had. They didn't have any foundation in what they believed. And Job would just stand there, and after a while, I believe, yeah, I'd get frustrated too talking to those guys. Look, man, I just lost my children. I just lost everything I had. I've got one thing I'm holding on to, and you're trying to take it from me. The atonement paid for my sins.
Amen.
I'm not a sinner. I'm not trusting in what I've done. I'm trusting in what God told us to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Trusting in His Word.
Sure.
And Job could point back and say, God accepted Abel back there. And I did the same thing.
Amen.
And God is no respecter of persons.
Right.
And it's the same tonight. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got it the same way everyone else did.
Amen.
You are not greater, you are not less than anyone else in the kingdom of God. Because we all come the same way. Ye must be born again.
Amen.
Not turning new leaves. Not saying, well, I guess I'll read the Bible now. I'll kind of pray once in a while. It has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
If you don't serve God because you love Him and there's been a nature change on the inside that you can't help but want to be with Him, you're not serving Him right.
Amen.
And actually, you know what it does to God? It makes Him want to vomit.
That's right.
You go read that in Revelation chapter 3. In the Old Testament, they'd have these sacrifices go up and they smelled good. But when they began to not really care about it so much, just kind of going through the motions, look, don't do that tonight in God's service because it'll just stink in His nose.
Amen.
If you don't come with the deepest of sincerity, God does not accept your worship. It's nothing to do with how loud you are. It's nothing to do with how high you raise your hands. It's how much of your heart you put
Amen.
Into it.
Amen.
You want to know when you're really worshiping? When it doesn't matter who's here.
Yes.
I don't care if it's just me and Dad standing here. I'm going to praise the same way I do with all you here. Because I'm not worshiping you. I'm worshiping Him. And He promised to be here. He said where two or three would gather, He would show up. How many believe that tonight? That God Almighty is standing in your midst. This Melchizedek lives.
Amen.
So the Jews would have just lifted up Abraham. My, you could have talked about any other Jew from the ages, but none of those would have compared to Abraham. And look what's Paul saying. He said, yeah, you think pretty good about Abraham. This man, Abraham paid his tithes to.
Amen.
You think he's great? He gave his tithes to this man. And then we could go through there. Let me dissect a few of these verses, because I was a little confused by the well the first time I read it. Go down to verse 5 again. Let me explain this. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So we know that the priesthood came from the Levites. The Levites were commanded to take tithes from everyone else, even though they were all just sons of Levi, or sons of Abraham, sorry. So you would think they'd be on the same level, right? But these are the priesthood, so they took the offerings from everyone else. They took the tithes, okay? Now look what he says in verse 6. But he whose descent is not accounted from them. Who's them? The Levites. He has no descent in the Levites. He's not part of the Aaronic priesthood. He's not part of the Levitical priesthood. He has no descent in them.
Right, amen.
That's what he's trying to say here. But he who is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. What is he trying to say? This priesthood that you've been holding faithful for 2,000 years, you pay tithes into it. This priesthood paid tithes to this man.
Amen.
You think this is great? But this one had to pay its tithes to this other man over here. Consider how great this man is.
Amen.
And let's bring it down to people of the world these days. It would be like going up to somebody who likes basketball and say, oh, you think LeBron James is good? Come check out this guy. They can't even stop him. He scores 100 points a game. You think Abraham's faith was pretty good? Come check out Melchizedek for a minute.
Amen.
You understand where we're going with this?
Yes.
You could go all the way down the line. Bye, maybe you like baseball. This man, oh, Babe Ruth, man, he was pretty good. This guy can hit a home run every time.
Amen.
How many knows that Melchizedek hits a home run?
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
And you could go right on down the line. You get the point here. This man is so great that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. You say, well, what about the atheists? Oh, they might hold their tongue now, but you wait till that judgment. They won't be able to do it then. Because consider how great this man is. That even the devil, when he's going to show up, won't be able to handle it.
Right.
As he tries to stand in pride, he won't be able to do it.
Amen.
He'll begin to buckle and he'll fall down and say, He is Lord.
Amen.
Consider how great this man is. And some people want to just throw it under the bus. Oh, it's Melchizedek. That's too deep for us. You know, that people can't understand that. That's a bunch of hogwash. I can't stand when people do that. You might as well just take your Bible and get a pair of scissors and cut it up and throw out half of it.
Right.
Because if it's too deep for you, you know what the problem is? You're trying to figure it out.
Amen.
Right.
So it ain't the Bible's fault. It's not the message's fault. It's not the minister's fault. It's your fault.
Amen.
And I already confessed we're doing the same thing, so don't think I'm pointing a finger at you. I've done it too. Taking topics, well, my, I think it says this, I think it says this, and trying to do my own little jigsaw puzzle to get it work out, and it never does work, but let the Spirit of God speak one time.
Yeah.
How many sick and tired trying to figure out why you're saved? How many times you put the puzzle together and it don't fit, and you get the hammer out trying to push it back in? Well, I'm saved because I prayed this much, and I do this, and I don't do this, and the puzzles never fit because you ain't the sculptor.
Amen.
You ain't the puzzle fixer. You got a God who already made the puzzle.
Amen.
And yeah, to you and me, my, all those pieces look the same, but God knows where every single one of them goes. Praise His holy name.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let's go back to verse 1 here. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. As they may know, Salem is the prefix, or the suffix, I should say, I'm sorry, of Jerusalem.
Amen.
So it's telling you where this man is coming from already. He is the king of Jerusalem. without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. You think you'd stop right there and be able to figure out who this man is.
Amen.
Who's the only man?
Never starts, never ends, doesn't have a dad, doesn't have a mom. Last I checked, it's Almighty God. Because to be eternal, you don't start. You don't end. You don't have any sort of time limit. Right. You don't come from anything. You're the source of everything.
Amen. Right.
That's who this man is, and I'll just save some time there. It's Almighty God.
Yeah. Right.
Now look, this was not just a figment of Abraham's imagination. This was not some angelic being that came down that had that wings and flew.
Right.
When this man showed up, he was what I just said, a man.
Yes.
Amen.
And Melchizedek could walk right in here in the form of a man and you'd miss him if you're not a spiritually minded person.
Amen.
Abraham saw three men coming.
Amen.
Two of them he paid no attention to.
That's right.
He looked right at one man and said, Lord.
Amen.
Lot saw the other two guys who Abraham didn't even account for
right.
and said, my lords.
Uh-huh.
Shows you the carnal mind and the spiritual mind.
Yeah.
Amen. Look what Brother Branham says here about this. Now, this is Hebrews chapter 7, the sermon. Now, he was not the Son of God, for if he was the Son of God, he had a beginning. And this man had no beginning. If he was the Son, he had to have both father and mother. And this man had neither father nor mother, but was made like unto the Son of God. Skipping down. Who this was Jehovah. This was Almighty God himself. It could be no other. Now, notice, he abideth forever. He has a testimony here that he liveth. He never dies. He never did. Hold up a second. You'll get this in a minute here. He never was nothing else but alive.
Amen.
He abideth forever. Now, Jesus was made likened unto him. Now, the reason that there's a difference between God and Jesus. Now, listen to me. Don't stop the quote there. Let me finish it for you real quick. I'm here to interpret these things. Let's just bring it to the people. Now, the reason that there's a difference between God and Jesus. Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning. Melchizedek had no beginning, and Jesus had a beginning. But Jesus was made like it unto him. A priest abideth forever. Now, when Melchizedek was on earth, he was nothing in the world but the Jehovah God made manifest by creation. He was here like a theophany. So let me explain what he's trying to get at here. Jesus the man was a man that was born like you and me. A man that had temptations like you and me. A man that had limitations like you and me. Melchizedek didn't come in that form.
No.
Melchizedek came in the form likened unto the Son of God. Which would have been just like Adam was made when he came right out of the mouth of God.
Yep.
Fresh out of the oven.
Yep.
Right.
Man.
No disruption in between.
Right.
And when Melchizedek came down to the body, we know the Bible says that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a tabernacle waiting in the heavens. And that tabernacle is called a theophany. That means if you would die here, your soul leaves to a body. And this, even though this body's still laying here, it's dead, it's got no life in it. But you go to a body that has no such thing as death to it. And God, that we are patterned after God, is that right? So if we have a theophany, God must have one. So God, before anything, we understand that even calling him God would not be correct because there was nothing even there to worship him. He was by himself. You couldn't see him. God, the Bible says that God is a spirit. You can't see a spirit.
Right.
Man, no man has seen God at any time. But as God began, remember, God didn't desire that. God wanted you to see him.
Amen.
So if you can't see God, it's your fault.
Amen.
God wants you to know he loves you. He wants you to know that he died for you. He wants you to know that he took care of every one of your needs.
Amen.
And God, willing to express himself, came up with this amazing plan. Anybody ever thought of anything better? No, you haven't, because his plan is the best.
Amen.
You find me a good story that don't pattern after the Bible.
Amen.
Find it. Don't happen, does it? They just get right there close to following that same principle because it's the best story ever told.
Yes. Amen.
And what's so wonderful about this story? It's real.
Yes.
That's why I like reading the Bible, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have idols. I have people that live.
Amen.
Amen.
David was a man.
Yeah.
Elijah was a man with like passions like I have. And we always want to put them up on this holy pedestal that they never had to go through any kind of temptations. They didn't struggle with obstacles. They had like temptations like you and I.
Amen.
And Christ said he was tempted in all points like we were, yet he didn't sin. Praise be to God. You say, well, he wasn't married. Yes, he was. Say, so he didn't have any children. Yes, he did.
Amen.
See that spiritual mind picking that up. So God wanted to express himself. The first thing he became was a body, likened unto what we see as men now, called a theophany, a word body. A body that never starts, never ends, doesn't know anything about frailty like we do, mortality, but it looks just like it. A body that, my, can you just, don't you just want to go to your theophany?
Amen.
The more I think about it, the more I go, man, I hate this thing. I hate being tired. I hate being groggy. I just want to be able to praise God 24/7 and never get tired about it.
Amen.
So God showed himself as a theophany. And if you want to prove that, go look up at Moses. Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. He said, I won't let you see my face, but I'll let you see my back parts. And he said he washed, and it was the back parts of a man walking. That was that theophany walking. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 14. I'm getting to a point here. You stay with me this morning, or tonight. Genesis 14, verse 17. This is after Abraham and the slaughter of the kings. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hands. And he gave him tithes of all. And this is where Paul is picking up here. And I love this story because as Abraham went and delivered his brother from the king of Sodom shows up first. Show me where Abraham paid him any attention first. Because the second he saw the king of Sodom show up, he said, wait a minute, who's behind you? Get out of the way. That's the same in a service now. Who's going to show up first? That old lying devil that says, oh my, you got to eat after this. Oh, don't think about work. Look, push the king of Sodom out of the way for a minute. Melchizedek is standing behind him.
Yes.
Spiritual mind of Abraham said, get out of him. Like, come on, where's Melchizedek? I love it. And when Melchizedek came to me, now I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I might just go ahead and have to do that. Melchizedek came forward. And what's the first thing he gives him? Bread and wine.
Yeah.
Let me show you what the prophet says about this. We're going to go out of order. It's all right. See that Melchizedek? Hundreds of years before, when he met Abraham, after the battle was over,
amen,
he gave him bread and wine. And guess what Jesus did when the battle was over? He gave his disciples bread and wine. You say, well, that was before the crucifixion. The battle was already over.
Amen.
Because that battle was really over before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
When Christ came, God was not afraid of him not making it to Calvary. He knew he'd be there.
Amen.
It was foreordained before the foundation of the world because God saw you. That's why Christ came. God saw you in a sinful condition.
Amen.
He said, I can't have it stay that way. So in his infinite mind, he said, no one else can pay this. I'll even go ask them. I'll have the angels ask around just so they can make sure everybody realizes you ain't good enough. Are you tired of saying you're not worthy? Yes, amen, you're right. You're all the same, I'm the same. We're not worthy, but there's one who is.
Amen. Amen.
And that's our confidence.
Yes.
Not that Jesus is out here, but that he's within me.
Amen.
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 That when God came in flesh, he did it for a purpose to redeem a specific people that could receive that atonement. And if you have received the Holy Ghost, it's you.
Yes. Amen.
Man. And God saw fit that you would not be lost in this last day, that you wouldn't be confused. So he said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished.
Yes.
And as we walked around trying to figure out what really is a Christian, God said, no, sir, I will bring it down.
Amen.
I will give the mystery of God out so they can see who they are.
Yes.
Amen. God only puts up with the devil so long.
Sure.
He's patient. That don't mean you never do it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember he said the cup of the Amorites is not quite full.
Right.
But guess what? There came a day when that iniquity filled up.
Yeah. Amen.
I always wanted to preach when God finally had enough. God had it one time with Moses. Not necessarily Moses himself, but those that were trying to challenge Moses. Eventually said, that's it, I'm done. Bring him forward. You know what happened to those men? The earth swallowed them up and killed them. And you think that's bad? Wait till this tribulation. You better hope you're in Christ before that gets here. Because after that sets in, there's no mercy left.
Amen.
While mercy is extended, you must receive mercy.
Amen.
God is long-suffering to us. How many
Amen.
Believes that?
Yes,
I prove that every day of my life.
Amen.
That God is long-suffering to me. The Bible says that God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. And God did. He waited 120 years. How many of you would put up with somebody for 120 years?
Sure.
But guess what? The flood still came. He didn't hold it off forever. And the Bible prophesies that this world will be burnt with fire, that the elements will burn with fervent heat. And you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we might not have thought that was possible. How many of you know that it would be very easy for them to blow this world up in a matter of seconds? Why? It's not even God. What God does is lets a sinner go ahead. If he wants to forsake his way, he'll let him go ahead because he, by his own mind, will destroy himself.
That's right.
God doesn't even have to do it. So why do we trust our own mind anyways? Why are you looking at your thoughts? Why are you looking at things that you feel? Stop basing it on that. What does the Word of God say?
Amen.
While I was yet a sinner, he loved me.
Amen.
He gave himself for me. And why do you love him? What does the Bible say? Because he first loved you. So guess what? If you can really, from the sincerity of your heart, look at Jesus and know that you love him with everything you are, that is a guaranteed proof
Amen.
That he loves you.
Amen.
And you think we'd be able to walk up to things a little bit more bold, don't you think?
Amen.
Stop putting up with the devil so much. Stop worrying about this, that, and the other thing, and our mistakes, and our failures, and we did this, and we did that. It ain't nothing to do with the equation. Christ did it all.
Amen.
Christ equals salvation.
Amen.
Is that simple enough for you? Quit putting yourself in there. You are in the Word Christ.
Amen.
That's all that matters. Don't separate from it. You are saved because you're a part of Him.
Amen.
That's why. So simple. And so wonderful when you begin to realize who you, not us, who you are.
Amen.
Because until you recognize who you are, you can't help other people. You can't hardly even help yourself.
Right.
When did Jesus give communion? When the battle was over.
Amen.
We sing that song, it's already done. The battle's over, the victory's won. It's already done. Now don't take that too far to think that, oh, God just wants us to sit around on our hands and do nothing. That's not what He wants. He wants you to be a vessel for Him.
Yes.
That's it. He doesn't want you to do anything. He wants you to give yourself to Him.
Amen.
And let Him do it all. Anybody realize that God's really good at doing stuff?
Amen. Amen.
My, when we really give ourselves to God, I tell you what, you witness pretty good, don't you?
Uh-huh.
All the other times, you just look like a fool most of the time. You try to think, well, I think God wants to do this. And before you know it, you're on some rabbit trail going the wrong way, and God's just standing there waiting for you just to give yourself to Him again.
Amen.
And we get all flustered trying to make up decisions and things. Look, we don't need to make any decisions. He never asked us to. We need to make one decision. Jesus, what's your decision? That's the one decision you need to make with every situation that you are presented with. How many believes in ordination of God? Those songs that we sang here. Take it to the Lord in prayer and just leave it there. Don't pick it up. Don't redig it. Don't replant it. Just leave it there. And God's word will not fail. Amen. So Melchizedek, we understand, was God Almighty. God Almighty wanted to have a conference with Abraham. He wanted to come down and talk to Abraham. So instead of just staying up here, he decided, I will come down in the body and let him see me.
Sure.
This body was so much like you and me. He ate, he talked, he could just walk around in clothes just like everyone else. And if you weren't spiritual minded, show me one other person that gave him any attention. Show me in the Bible where anybody else says, oh yeah, Melchizedek, he's a great guy. One man recognized him. But guess what? That one man was right.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter about the majority. It doesn't matter how many people, oh, they're believing this and there's only so many left. That has nothing to do with success.
Amen.
Success is, do you stay with the Word of God? Because you and God's the majority.
Amen.
Micah one time. You remember the other 400 prophets said, go ahead, go up there, prosper.
Sure.
He said, they're all lying to you.
Right.
And they tried to throw him in prison. It didn't matter. The Word of God came to pass because him and God was the majority.
Amen. Amen.
God came down in flesh to meet with him. We understand, why is this different than Jesus Christ then? Let me read it one more. Out of who is this Melchizedek? 65. Listen closely. Now the true revelation of Melchizedek comes into view. What? He was God, the Word, before He became flesh. I think that would be enough, don't you think? How many believes that Jesus Christ was the Word? Amen. The Bible says that. In the beginning, for John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Anything that's made has a limited amount of time. The only thing that are eternal are things that were never made. They just always were. So Jesus Christ, when God became flesh, that had a time. Just that was it. He had to come, live His life 30 years. That was all God needed. 3 years of service, gave His life, and it was finished.
Amen.
He doesn't have to come that way again.
Nope.
He was God, the Word, before He became flesh. God, the Word, because He had to be. No one else could be immortal like Him. See, I had a father and mother. You did too. And you did too. Okay.
Amen.
Jesus had father and mother, but this man had no father or had no mother. Jesus had a time He started, this man didn't. Jesus gave His life, this man couldn't, because He was life.
Yeah.
And it's the, look, you stop right there. Look, you think, okay, Melchizedek here, Jesus here. Isn't that what it just sounded like? Let me read the next sentence. And it's the self-same man all the time.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Woo! I hope God reveals it to you. The self-same person all the time. Notice His title, King of Righteousness. Now Hebrews 7:2, King of Righteousness and King of Peace. He is two kings. Not He is two people, He is two kings. Which means He has more than just one domain. He conquers over all other domains. Now watch, Hebrews 7:2, King of Righteousness, King of Peace. He has two kings there. Since He has come in the flesh and received His body up, in Revelation 21:16, He is called the King of Kings.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is all three of them together. See, King God, King of Righteousness, the God that you couldn't see, the God you couldn't even approach to, the God before anything ever was. Then King Theophany, God becoming a body you could see, but yet was never tempted, was never tried, was never mortal. Then King Jesus, the King of Kings, the all in all, the Almighty. It's all met just like soul, body, and spirit. All comes to make one. Also, He is the Father, which was first. Son and Holy Ghost, the Spirit. King of Righteousness, the same attribute. Theophany, King of Peace, Theophany. And in flesh He was King of Kings, the same person.
Amen.
And we've explained this before, but now you can put a name to this. Remember, the Spirit of God could not come and die. Because if the Spirit of God would die, everything dies. Because there's no such thing as life without the Spirit of life.
Amen.
He is the source of all life.
Amen.
He is the source of all love. He is the source of all lasting joy and lasting peace. And the second He would be gone, it would disappear. Because those are attributes of Him. Aren't you glad we got a God with attributes that are wonderful?
Amen.
We don't have a God that's like Zeus and that's just a big brute that'll kill His own father to get you and doesn't love you. If you make a mistake, He comes down and shoots you with a lightning bolt because He don't like you. Our God is not like that. Our God is a God that will reach out and reach out and reach out. And as you try to pull away, He keeps reaching for you.
Man.
The only reason a sinner ever goes to hell is because God just can't do it anymore. You broke His heart one too many times. But aren't you glad? You decide to turn around and say, Lord,
Amen.
I do.
I do.
I do, Lord. You say, will You marry me? And people are too busy. Wait. Sorry, Jesus, I got to listen to this one more time.
Huh?
Will you marry me? You stand in the corner. No, I got a couple more programs I got to watch. Will you marry me? Oh, I got one more drink to put down. And they think God don't love them. Too busy listening to the devil is the thing that it is. Because, the devil will tell you that all the time.
Yeah.
He'll tell you that those other things that you're doing are really satisfying you.
Right.
And you know deep down, it doesn't.
Right.
It never does. There's always one more time. There's always one more thing. There's always one more chance that it might actually satisfy this time. But if you just come to Christ one time,
Amen.
That's all you need. Because He's the only satisfying portion there is.
Amen.
There's no such thing as satisfaction without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So who was this man? It was God Almighty. It was God in that theophany that walked down and said, I want to meet with Abraham and put on a body of flesh. Now, he's not called Melchizedek later on, but there's other times where body of flesh is talked to man. Mm-hmm. They turned around and said, that was God. Mm-hmm. Jacob wrestled a man. A lot of people like to say it's the angel, and that's fine if they want to say that. But he wrestled with this man until he got a name change. Yeah. Not only find one person that changes names. And he wrestled with him all night long. You've been there before?
Amen.
Just wrestling with the Lord. And you know what? I love it because he let Jacob win. I'm pretty sure he could have beat him. But he let Jacob win. How many times do you think he's let you win?
Yeah.
Why? Because he loves you.
Amen.
He's not wrestling you to destroy you. He's wrestling you for you to finally just give up.
Yep.
And let him do it all. But Jacob got done wrestling with him. He asked him, he said, what's your name? He says, why you ask? Don't you know it's a secret? And he left away. And he said he called the name of the place Punello. I've seen God face to face.
Amen.
And my life is preserved. He's the same God the whole time. Mm-hmm. I always want to ask the Trinitarian, who's that then? Is that the Father? Is that the Son? Is that the Holy Ghost? Which one is it? How many answers do you think I've got for that question? None. But God, in His grace and mercy to us, did not leave us to be confused about this. He came down and showed us what it was. It was God.
Amen.
It was the same God. Isn't that a lot easier than coming up with 2 or 3 or 7 or 58 or whatever? It was God the whole time. When the pillar of fire showed up, guess what? That was God.
Amen.
This isn't God that we're talking about that just like you and me that only can do so much thing. This is the Almighty God.
Amen.
If He wants to show up like a pillar of fire, He can go ahead and do that. If He wants to show up like a pillar of cloud, all right, that's wonderful. He's God.
Amen.
He wants to show up like a man?
Amen.
He can do it.
Sure can.
And He did.
Amen.
And that's who Melchizedek was. Now, it didn't stop there because Melchizedek was a created body just like Adam would have been. So there was no connection between the two. Our bloodline would be over here on this side and God would be over here without us. What good does that do us? Absolutely nothing. Because the Bible, God's own law, God knew His law before it was written down now. He can't contradict His own law. When it talked about a Redeemer, that was already written in God's mind. So when He looked down at a lost man, He knew, my law requires a Redeemer that is a kinsman.
Yeah.
So as we look at this family tree, it's got to be someone over here.
Yeah.
He can't be in somewhere else. He can't be over here on this. He's got to be from our lineage. So Melchizedek, hallelujah, did not stay just in a theophany because it could not relate to you and me. He had to come down.
Amen.
Man, become a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, don't go crazy on that. It's not His sin that He came down in. He came down with your sin.
Yes.
Okay.
He was made like unto sinful flesh. Just like Melchizedek was made, I'm saying that wrong. Made like unto the Son of God.
Amen.
So why did He have to come down? Because without Melchizedek, if He just stayed up there as a theophany, we would all be lost. And that's why this is important to us. This is why this matters. Because if Jesus to you is just some other man, what good is His blood?
Amen.
If He's just a second person, what does that even mean? No, it was Melchizedek. The man that Paul said, look, this is the greatest man that ever was. He never started. He never ends. He'll never decrease in power.
Amen.
He was there before anything was.
Sure.
And that man became this man.
Amen.
That you think is insignificant. The man that you saw get pushed around. Yeah, he's a little 5'3", 120-pound man. Just get shoved around. And you think he's nothing. That was Melchizedek hidden behind there. Because Melchizedek changed his form. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the same God in a different form. So why did He become that form? Only for one purpose. You and I.
Amen.
And think of how well He was off up there. He was the King of heaven and earth. The Bible says He's the possessor of heaven and earth.
Amen.
He can just come down in flesh anytime He feels like, go back up, become the pillar of fire, and show up here and do it. And then He comes down as the man that gets shoved pillar to post. God loves us. He loves us with a love we can't even comprehend sometimes.
Right.
And we try. And instead of just accepting it, people try to reason with God's love. And that's why you get no benefits out of it.
Yeah.
You don't deserve it. Yes, you failed. You failed. You failed. But God loved, and then He loved, and then He loved. And before you failed, He was loving already. And after you've ever failed again, He'll love you for all eternity. Aren't you glad when we cross over, our God will not change His mind? He will love you the same He did before we got there.
Praise God.
Otherwise, I'd be there a million years. It might be still trembling in my heart because maybe He's not going to love me tomorrow. That ain't the way God does things. He loves us for time and eternity. Let's go back to Hebrews. Try to move forward here a little bit. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And I hope you understand what that means now. What is Paul saying? This man's so great that Abraham himself gave his tithes to him. Abraham did so much respect to him that he said, you deserve this. Well, who do you give your tithes to? You're not giving it to me. You're not giving it to church. You're giving it to God. And that's what Abraham was doing to this man.
Amen.
And verily, they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted of them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Aren't you glad that Abraham wasn't just packing around his own promises?
Right.
He had received a promise from someone else. And he was carrying them around with him. And as he was carrying those around, it took some blessing to get those things to happen.
Amen.
Oh my. You're packing the promises right now of eternal life.
Amen.
Those of you that are born again, you already have all you need to be in heaven.
Amen.
All you need to be in a rapture. All you need to be
Amen.
Healed. All you need to be
Amen.
Saved,
Amen.
Sanctified.
Yes. Amen.
For all time and eternity.
Amen. Amen.
It just takes us
Amen.
Little Melchizedek visit once in a while to come bless us just so that we are finally convinced
Amen.
That this is really who we are.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Why do you think Melchizedek came to pay him a visit? To let him know, yes, you still believe. And I've come here. That's what he said. I came here to fulfill this for you. In the time, in the process of time, Sarah will have a child. You've been waiting 25 years, Abraham, but here it comes. Get ready. And we have been waiting how many years? For all the resurrection's got to come. Jesus got to come. The Bible's been saying for 2,000 years. But God came in this last day in another form.
Yes.
Yep.
The same Melchizedek. The same Almighty God.
Yes.
In a different form. The form He promised to come in, which was the Son of man.
Amen.
Yes,
the Son of man, God hidden behind flesh. The veil, remember, the veil of Christ was His flesh.
Right.
Amen.
So the second a believer could look past that little man
right.
and realize he's packing God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Then they got benefits from that.
Amen.
Lord, help us. The storm, the storm. Peace be still. Lord, my son is a lunatic. My dad loves to use that one. Help him. But guess what? Did that son stay a lunatic?
Uh-oh.
Neither did this son right here. In all seriousness, I'm so glad. When I thought I had a mind, I'm glad that I could recognize I didn't have none. I was a lunatic. I thought I could just go with, well, I'm pretty good, you know. I believe there's a God, you know, kind of, maybe Jesus or something, whatever. I'm all right, you know. I think I'll make it. I'm glad I realized one day, I'm a lunatic. What is a lunatic? You don't have right thinking right now. If there's any person here that thinks you can make it to heaven with your merits, you, my friend, are a lunatic.
Amen.
Otherwise, why do you think Melchizedek wasted all his time to come down in a body of flesh and die for the sins of the world if there was another way to do it?
Amen.
The same with the tree of life. People want to separate the tree of life from God. You see, if you just recognize there's only one God and you hold on to that for long enough and then read the whole Bible, you'll see, oh, He's there.
Amen.
He's there.
Yep.
He's there.
Yep.
It's not a different God. It's the same God. He did the same thing there. He did here. And He did it here. He did it with David that way. Oh, look, He did it with Moses that way.
Amen.
He did it with Joshua that way. It's the same all the time because it's always the same God. And if that same God be alive in you, He will do the same things.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He won't live for himself. He lives for others.
Yeah.
Any desire that comes, He's got an answer to it. I didn't say you had the answer. He's got the answer.
Amen.
But you are packing Him.
Amen.
Woo! He said, remember Paul even said, he said, who can instruct the Lord? Who can tell him what to do? And again, just read the next verse a few times. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. Paul recognized, I counted my mind dumb. I just threw away my thoughts about this, and I accepted his thoughts about it.
Amen.
And he never misses.
Amen.
Woo.
That's right.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Bless him that had the promises. Let me read this real quick. Hebrews chapter 7. It says, and God only works through perfection because he's perfect. Blessed be his name. It has to be a perfect channel that God works through because he can do nothing else but work through perfection.
Amen.
You think that would throw us out of the equation, don't you? He only works through perfection. Well, I look at myself, I know I'm not perfect, and I think, well, I'm done for then. He can't stain himself in any way. And then that's why Jesus came, to take away our sins that we might be perfected.
Amen.
That God could work through his church.
Sure.
There is where the secret lays.
Amen, amen, amen.
I said, my, how does that brother just seem always happy all the time? How's he always got victory? There's where the secret lays.
Amen.
He's not walking around worried about, my, if I do this, I might go to hell. Maybe if I do this enough, I'll go to heaven. He's saying, my, I'm glad Jesus did that for me.
Amen.
I'm sure glad I accepted it and didn't just accept it in my head now. Right. Don't you go around preaching that kind of Baptist doctrine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you believed it and then you received
Amen.
It.
Yes, that's right. Amen. That's right.
And don't never let the devil take that from you. Because
yes.
He will. He'll come every day to take your seal away. He'll come and say, well, you did this. There's no way a Holy Ghost filled person do that.
What?
Oh, I'm the only one. I'm sorry. Oh, no, I got a couple up here. Praise God. And that's why I love the way God does things. God himself did not come in a man that couldn't be tempted. Because then we would have been like, well, of course he could have done it. He wasn't even tempted. So he allowed him. My, you talk about temptations we go through. Anybody not ate for 40 days and then went for a one-on-one match with the devil? Woo. And even at that time, he didn't falter, he didn't fail. As a man filled with the Holy Ghost, he beat the devil every time.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
And why did he come? Because he saw us. He didn't see you what you see you. He saw past that.
Yes.
He saw a seed of God within his children.
That's right.
And that seed that was in there never started, never ends.
Right.
Look, a son has a beginning. Uh-huh. That part never began.
That's right.
That's right.
Let God reveal that to you.
Yes, sir. That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Brother Branham says in the Church Age book, he said, it's not the person that comes predestined eternally from God, it's the Word.
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
But you and the Word are one.
Yes. Amen.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Look, if that's not true, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're a different word than God is. Now there's two words. And the Bible said that the Word was God. I guess now there's two gods. And actually, not bad. If another person gets saved, now we got three. And somebody else gets saved, now we got four. It's not the way it works.
Amen.
The Almighty God inside of Him. Look, He didn't create these. They always were.
Amen.
It was always there.
Amen.
I had to bite my tongue a little bit today. There's a kid at school. He's a wonderful kid. He's a wonderful brother. I'm not ashamed to call him brother. He loves the Lord. He'll come. He even came to me and talked to me about some things. He was dealing with stuff. And he asked me about spiritual warfare. Then he said something like this. And I let it go because I didn't want to stumble him just yet. We'll get to that. This is a deep thing. We'll put it that way. He said, who's more eternal or something like that? Who's eternal, God or man? Because he said it was kind of like a line, you know, God goes for both ways, and you know, we start here and go this way. And then they go, well, does that even make sense? Where does this little point fit into this? Where's that point in time where we started existing? Say, well, that's when you were born. Oh, so Jesus didn't exist until he was born. How do you say, oh, let me have the glory I had with you before I got here?
Right.
What happened in this life, this fallen creation, is not eternal.
Right.
And it's not you.
Right.
It is a form we came in for one purpose.
Uh-huh.
To know who God is.
Amen.
Because we're tempted, we're tried, we fail, we begin to realize, He's my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you wouldn't recognize that. You get sick, now you know, hey, He's my healer.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have known that before. You're a little downcast. He's my comforter.
Amen.
And that's all we came down here to figure out. Why do you think he didn't allow too much time for it? Because we just had a certain amount to learn, and it's time to go home. And aren't you glad some of us get to figure that out a little bit faster than others? Precious in God's sight is the death of one of his saints, because that means eternal life has now taken full effect.
Amen.
And aren't you glad right down here on this earth, eternal life has begun to take effect.
Amen.
A man that's born again begins to show signs of eternal life.
Amen.
He begins to show signs of God's character. You say, what are those? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's a good way to go back and check out your experience, ain't it? I tell you what, if you're the same way before your conversion, or what you call conversion now, and after, you need to go back and check up what you did.
Amen.
Because I know what happened to me. And I ain't trying to base off my experience, because it's the same what happens in the Bible. A man is completely different.
Right.
Paul, a man zealous for God. A man that was religious more than all of us combined. A man that could probably read the Bible backwards. He knew it so well. When he came in contact with God, you know what he did with all that? He said, I counted it as dung. A man before so zealous for God that when he found heretics, he was, I'm going to kill them. After that, he said, let's go pray for him. They throw him in prison. Guess what he did? Got out, went right back and started preaching for him.
Yeah.
They stoned him. What'd he do? Shake it off. Walk back right where he got stoned from. You tell me that's the same old Paul? Same old Paul, just when he heard some words against him, was ready to kill people.
Right.
This Paul laid his life down all the time. Why? It's not Paul. It's not Paul's goodness, not his flesh anyway. You understand the difference there now. I ain't talking about his election now. I'm talking about his flesh, who he was in the flesh. That had no good thing. And if Paul could say that, say, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, guess what? In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So quit trying to pull good things out of the flesh. There's no source there to get it from.
Amen.
The only source you can find is Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Look, you win by retreating. Think of that for a minute. You beat the devil by retreating to Christ.
Amen.
He never asked you to fight alone. When you go to the battle, retreat to Christ. Lord, I go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's not you fighting no more. The battle is the Lord's.
Yeah.
When he asked Joshua to take the land, what he said, it's already ours. Go get it. And all they had to do, just walk forward. Just walk forward. Because Joshua knew we can do this because we're not going alone. He wasn't trusting those amount of soldiers. That didn't mean nothing to Joshua.
Right.
If it had just been him and Caleb, he still would have went over.
Amen.
He wasn't afraid about it. Oh my, praise God. God only works through perfection. Let me finish this quote real quick. He can't stain himself in any way. And then that's why Jesus came, to take away our sins, that we might be perfected, that God could work through his church. That is where the secret lays. There is where the world is blind. That's it. They don't see this, okay? There's where they want to say that you've lost your mind. That is where they want to say you don't know what you're talking about. Because the things of the Lord is foolish to the wisdom of this world. But the things of this world is carnal to the believer. So you're a different person. You're living in a different sphere. You're not no more of this world. You've passed from this life into a new life.
Oh, yes.
Aren't you tired of condescending back down to this life?
Yes.
We tend to want to do it about every day. Instead of just staying up there with Christ, like right now, you feel that, don't you? I ain't talking feel like, I'm talking you know it. I wish there was a word for faith. You know what I mean? There's a word for that. But we don't know it. I use the word feel, but I don't mean what most people think feel. It's a sense above the other five.
Right? Amen.
It's something where you know God is standing here.
Yes. Amen.
And a real believer, look, God allows you to have feelings to encourage you. Yes, I believe in that. I believe he wants us to feel good in things. But that is no basis for God's merit. It is no basis for his disapproval.
Right.
You evaluating your life by how good things are or how bad things are means nothing.
Right.
Your standing with God is your faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
When he said he loves you, if you really believe that, you're in good standing with God right
now. Amen.
Because God can move upon your confession.
Amen.
People waiting for God to talk all the time. Why don't you just say what His Word said and move forward?
Right, yes. Right.
Isn't that what Moses did? He said, oh my, we keep running back to God. We got to get the victory. Got to get the victory. Got to get the victory. And finally God said, what are you crying unto me for?
Right.
Speak and go forward. Yeah. I say the same for the bride of Christ today. The move is on you. Can I just say it that way? The prophet said the move was on the bride. He said, that's thus saith the Lord. But guess what? If you're part of the bride, you need to take that promise, that word of God, personally.
Amen.
The move is on you.
Amen.
If you want to keep shoving it off to other people, it will do you no good.
Amen.
All right. Now, why did God come to Abraham? What was it about Abraham that God was so attracted to that He said, I must come down in flesh and talk to my servant? As we just read there, what did He say? He blessed him that had promises. Not one that was trying to go get them, not one that was trying to earn them, one that was already packing the promises. Because God looked past His mistakes, He saw His election. He could see who He was. Let's turn back there to Genesis one more time. I'll try to close up here soon. Genesis 14. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram. Oh, could you just, I like to read it like this for once in a while. Blessed be Andrew of the Most High God.
Oh, yeah.
Can you go ahead and do that for yourself once in a while? Maybe you'd stop putting the promise of God off you. Put your name in the promise. Are you Abraham's seed?
Yes.
Because Abraham's seed is Christ. And if you be born again, you are a part of Christ, who makes you a part of Abraham's seed. And you can put your name right in there where Abram's was. Because even before his conversion, God already looked past that.
Amen.
He knew who he was.
Yes.
He knows who you are. It's us catching up.
Right.
It's us being Abram waiting to figure out, oh wait, I'm Abraham. Mm-hmm. I got a part of God in my name. And we think, oh, my name's Andrew. No, it's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. I don't pack my own name around no more. I done gave that up when I got married.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And when did you really get married? I'm sorry. You can put a little too much confidence in your born again experience. The reason you were married in the first place is because you already had the ring on.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. God loved you before you even knew what love was.
Amen.
Verse 18. Let me just read that again. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Oh, let me read this now. Oh, my. Coming out of possessing all things, 62. Now we find out that he met him. And after the promise had been vindicated, he had fellowship. Melchizedek came out to bless Abraham. And he said, blessed be Abraham. And blessed be the God of Abraham, the possessor of heavens and earth. Oh my, how I like that. Believer's promise. You say, what's that got to do with us? Pretty good question, isn't it? Oh yeah, that's about Abraham. That's about the God of Abraham. What's that got to do with us? To the believer's promise is eternal life.
Amen.
Whew. What's that got to do with us? That's our inheritance.
Amen.
The possessor of heaven and earth is my Father.
Amen.
And my Father left me an inheritance, and I'm sick and tired of us leaving it just as an inheritance instead of making it a possession.
Yeah. Amen.
Look, He's already paid for it.
Yep.
It's mine now.
Amen.
It's not I will inherit. It is I possess.
Yes.
Eternal life. Let me finish reading that. The believer's promise is life, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, fruits of the Spirit, divine healing, and a dozen other things I got wrote down here nearly. That is your possession. It belongs to you, but you cannot have it until you fight for it. It's yours. Remember, we told you how to fight. Now, I ain't talking about, getting spiritual enough to fight. I'm talking about you retreating to God and saying, your word says this. This is the fruit of the Spirit. I've received the Spirit. I'm presenting the Spirit with my prayer. This must come to pass in me. I am fighting the devil against his unbelief with the faith that God has given me.
Amen.
That is the warfare. It's always been the warfare. Say, well, didn't David have to pull out a sword and cut Goliath's head off? No, he won the battle of faith before he even got there.
Amen.
He looked at a man 9.5 feet tall. You know what the Bible says he did when he challenged him? David ran to meet him.
Amen.
And all of us want to approach the devil, we're going to sneak up on him. No, he ran right at him. Look, if you've got a problem, go right at it.
Yeah. Right.
Go right at it. Don't play no games with God. If you know there's something in your life that's wrong, just go get it right now.
Amen.
Don't go with God and act like it's half right and half wrong. No, it's all wrong. If there's any wrong, it's all wrong. Yeah. And David didn't walk up to Goliath with one fear in his life because he knew the same God that was alive back there with Abraham, and I'm a seed of Abraham.
Amen.
If that God could deliver a whole armies and kings. Remember, that's when Melchizedek showed up after he had delivered armies and kings into his hands.
Right.
So what's this one Philistine? On top of that, I already done killed a bear and a lion. What's this man going to stand before me? He won the battle of faith, and that's when you prove it.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You've got to win the battle, and then it gets proven.
Amen. Right.
We always want it to just get proven, and then we'll say we got faith now. People in the world, that's what they want you to do, don't they?
Right.
Well, just, you know, pray for this and let it happen, then I'll believe you. Why don't you just believe first and then watch it happen?
Right.
They want it the other way because that's how the devil does it, isn't it? He was on the cross. He said, if you be the Son of God, come on off. Then we'll believe. He didn't clown around. He didn't play no games with him, and you shouldn't either. If somebody's going to play that with you, go ahead and recognize right now, that's a demon possession.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say oppression now. Demon oppression is when somebody's walking around wanting to be free. If they don't want to be free, you can't help them.
Right.
I can't. A doctor can't help somebody that likes being sick.
That's right.
They won't show up.
Yeah.
Why do you think people aren't at church? Too much healing going on at church. Some people like being sick too much.
Amen.
And I ain't talking physical sickness. I'm talking about spiritual sickness.
Right.
Oh, I like boozing it up on the weekends a little too much. And we could just go on down the list. All right, you understand that. It's time for a group of people to stand up that have one love in their life.
Amen.
That's Melchizedek.
Yes, sir.
That's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
Remember, it is, who is this Melchizedek? Which means he is standing here now.
Yes.
Don't put this man off in the past. Look, he has no beginning and no ending, so he is alive right now.
Amen.
Pretty simple, isn't it? And what form is he alive in? Because it is God Almighty. He is alive in this day in the Holy Ghost dispensation, which means you should not be looking, oh, where is he? Where's the Son of Man? Where is he coming from? He needs to be right here.
Right.
And until you recognize that God is within you, you have no victory.
Amen.
You have no guarantee that you'll be there. You have no guarantee you'll get healed. You have no guarantee that you'll be saved. You have nothing.
Right.
Trying to find a good place to stop. Brother Bram says the same thing I just did, just in case you're wondering. The Bible says that God was the possessor of heavens and earth. Abraham was an heir of God. And the book of Romans says that we are heirs of God and joint with Christ.
Amen.
Brother Bram says this, Hebrews chapter 7. And now Abraham was to inherit the world. And Abraham's seed was all nations to be blessed. So God came down and talked to him in the form of a man. Now God has always been on the earth. Does that include 2013, whatever today's date is? Yes, it does. God is on earth. God has never left the earth. If he'd ever leave the earth, I don't know what would become of it. But God has always been here in some form.
Yes.
That's where people get stumbled. They don't think God can change form. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't declare it. He is God in morphe.
Amen.
God that can change his mask. And his mask in this day, the only mask that the bride is looking for is the bride. Because that's the form he came in. That's the revelation of the seventh seal for this day, is that we are a part of Christ and we are here to manifest that life to the world as the second Eve.
Come on.
The life of the second Adam still here.
Amen.
Who does God reveal this to? Who does God show these mysteries to? Is it just anyone? Genesis 18. I'll finish on this. Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, Excuse me, let me take a drink real quick. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Look what Brother Abraham says about this. Melchizedek, he's speaking of, walked out with Abraham. Out there, a little piece, he told Abraham, said, "Seeing that, I'll keep these things from Abraham to see that he's the heir of the world. I just won't do it."
Amen.
Oh my. Do you understand that God had to resist? He had to hold back these secrets till the right time. He wanted you to know all about it.
Amen.
He wanted Abraham to know. The whole world will be blessed through you because the Christ is going to come through you. He's wanted you to know you were the bride before you got here.
Amen.
He has not withheld revelation from anyone. So when people want to act like, "Oh, God just hasn't given me the revelation." No, you just don't want it yet. Because he's just bursting at the seams to get it.
Right.
People that have been looking for the Holy Ghost for 10 years, something wrong with your faith. Because the Bible, when they wanted it, they got it.
Amen. Amen.
They waited one time. Does anybody remember that? 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that was a fulfillment of Scripture.
Right.
That's why they waited 10 days. Had to be day 50.
Right.
The day of Pentecost. The day of Jubilee.
Jubilee.
The day of freedom.
Yes, amen.
And I'm here to declare that day is still in effect.
Hallelujah.
The day of Jubilee doesn't end for the believer. It is for time.
Yes.
In all eternity.
Amen.
You are an inheritor.
Yes.
Of heavens.
Yes.
Look, I didn't just say the earth. Heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Your father isn't just some other man. He is the man that never started.
Amen.
He is the man that ever ended.
Oh, hallelujah.
He is the man that's alive tonight in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Here to make reconciliation upon our confession.
Yes.
Why he wants us back in fellowship.
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Listen closely. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed, but those things that are revealed belong to us.
Yeah.
And to our children forever.
Yeah. Lord.
That we may do all the words of this law. Aren't you glad that the law of love came?
Amen.
Not the law of condemnation. The law of love came in the form of a man named Jesus Christ. Melchizedek, in a form that took your place. The same God standing here tonight. Does anyone have needs as we bow our heads in prayer? Does anyone have needs from this all-sufficient well?
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. It's not time to leave service with needs. It's time to leave services with needs met. Consider how great this man is. Don't consider just how great he was, how great he will be. Consider how great he is tonight. I know the struggles you go through, church. I know what I go through. This is Laodicea. This is an awful place to be. But I'm so glad that we are fallen on the Rock of Ages. If you have a desire tonight, lift that up to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yield yourself to God. Be that conduit that God can work through. Let Him reveal this to you. See, this just doesn't seem significant to me. Let Him show you why this was brought in the last day. Hallelujah, Jesus. You go ahead and pray your own way. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Respect His presence now. I didn't ask you to respect me. I asked you to respect Him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You come respecting Him, He'll give you all that you have need of. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being here tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can know who this man was that is so great, that is so wonderful, and that He's not a God afar off, but Lord, You're so close, even in our mouth, even in our hearts. Lord, everywhere we go, we try to get away. David said, "Even if I go to hell, You're still with me." Knowing that he was packing the seed of God within him. Lord, we're so grateful to know that You saved us. Lord, if there's one here that has any little doubt, oh God, take it far from them. May they find that well of love tonight, Lord God. If there's one here that's still downcast, letting Laodicea affect them, letting them live in a realm of doubt and fear, Lord, you never predestinated us to live in that realm. You predestinated us to have love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. I pray you restore every person here tonight to that fellowship with you. Lord, we confess it. We believe it, that we're the bride of Christ. Lord, and that's why this word came. That's why you set these things, was to bring us out of this world. And we're here to say thank you tonight, Lord God, that you didn't leave us out there to fend for ourselves. But Lord, you watched over us. You hovered over us like an eagle does her little chick. Oh, we're so grateful tonight for that, Lord God. Lord, save every soul that's here. Lord God, let them recognize how late the hour is. Let the believer take all his possession tonight. The secret things were revealed not only to us, but to our children. The Holy Ghost was promised to us and our children. Father, let us be like our father Abraham, that never let go of the promise of God, but held on until it came to pass. I pray you encourage the people's faith tonight. Encourage my faith, Lord. Forgive us of all of our faults and failures. Let us walk in perfect faith. Grant it, Lord, tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you have a need you'd like to be prayed for, you can come forward. I'll be happy to pray with you. Let us sing that song together.
She ate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Psalm 260.
I love you.
Let's give him praise. Let's worship him with all our hearts now. Sing it again.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Lord, I love you. I bow down before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Oh, let's just sing that one more time with all our hearts.
And Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Lord, I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Oh, let's just worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace, Lord Jesus. Oh, we just praise you and thank you for all these things. Thank you for being so good, Lord God. Oh, we lift you up. We praise your holy name. You're worthy of all praise and honor, Lord God. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's life unto me. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Dying for me, taking my place, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Let Him do with you as He pleases. If He wants to chip you off, if He wants to shave you, if He wants to take some out of your heart, if He wants to use you tonight, just commit yourself to Him now. Sing it again.
Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, you lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort.
sang 32, Shine On Me. If you don't know it, 32.
Shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from your lighthouse shine on me. Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from your lighthouse shine.
Well, if that's your prayer, let's raise our hands and sing it one more time.
Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Oh, let the light from your lighthouse shine on me. Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from your lighthouse shine.
And we'll
walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine on.
Tonight. Oh, just let it shine now. Sing that as a prayer. Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, we'll walk in the light, such a beautiful.